Hello, thank you for joining me here at this radio station or here at the Washington Word. And we're about to get set to get back into our verse-by-verse Bible teaching. We invite you to join us here at the Washington Word. We're on Highway 11W in Churchill. We're in the Palace Shopping Center, and we own the hand car washing business called the Washington Word. And if you haven't heard about us, we are a hand car wash, and we have opened up this business for the sole purpose of getting God's Word out there, and we do it verse by verse. We cover entire books of the Bible, all scripture within that book, and we do this because we know and fully believe that the entire counsel of God's Word is not only needed, but it's absolutely vital in the life of a Christian. If we're gonna stand fast in a world that is quickly deteriorating and departing from the Lord and from the Bible and from truth, then yes, we're going to need all of God's counsel. And that's why we do this in verse-by-verse format. If you have any questions, simply go to washandword.com. That is wash, the letter N, word.com. And if you would like to hear verse-by-verse Bible teaching being taught live, you can join me at Abundant Life Fellowship, 415 Old Union Road in Churchill. I preach there on Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Hope to see you there. All right, we're going to get back into our verse-by-verse Bible teaching. In the book of 1 John, we are covering some statements that were made. These are false statements that John has made, and they're statements that we can look at our lives and ask the question, if Christianity were to become illegal tomorrow, would there be enough evidence against us to convict us? And in our last teaching, we looked at the first false statement, and that was found in verses 6 and 7. In 1 John chapter 1, where John says, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not deceive ourselves. So the first claim is to claim that we have fellowship. And we talked about having sin in our lives. Now, we all have sin to some degree because we still live in a fallen nature, but habitual sin is a completely different animal. And the difference is that before salvation, we chased after sin, but after conversion, sin chases after us. And if you could remember this, you can't walk in intimacy with God if you are consistently tolerating sin in your life. Now, I'll repeat that, and there's a couple of words that we need to touch on in that application point. You can't walk in intimacy with God if you are consistently tolerating sin in your life. Now, some of the key words there are intimacy with God. We don't cease to walk with God if sin enters our life, but we do cease to walk in intimacy with Him. And there are tolerable sins, if that's such a thing I can even say and get away with without sounding blasphemous. The key there is the consistent tolerance of sin. And now we all will sin. We might have to tell a white lie or something, and we could tolerate that in our lives. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it's a tolerable thing that we do on occasion. We do sin and we tolerate it, but it's when we consistently tolerate certain sin in our life, we are going to depart from intimacy with God. And that's what John's claim here is. He says, if we claim to have intimacy with him, but continue to tolerate sin in our lives, we are a liar, or we fool ourselves. Habitual sin are the ones, are those who are chasing after sin, that we seek that out in the darkness, so to speak. And why is this important? Because sin might strain our fellowship with God, but habitual sin strains the relationship. And you say, well, handsome radio teacher, how is that even different? Because listen, sin strains the fellowship, habitual sin strains the relationship. And if we think about it in, say, a form of, in the example of marriage, some things, like I can do some things that anger my wife, and she'll get angry at me, and that might strain our fellowship at the time until we reconvene and reconcile, but if I continually do something over and over again, it isn't just going to strain our fellowship, you know, that is how we are getting along at the moment, that is going to start to put a strain on the relationship. And that's when real trouble begins. And with God, that's why I use the word tolerable and consistently tolerable when it comes to sin. Sin is never good. Please don't hear me say that. But a tolerable sin is going to strain your fellowship. But a habitual sin is going to strain the relationship. And that is something that the devil is trying to instill into our lives so that the foundation, the very fabric of our relationship with God gets damaged. And that's what he's trying to do. And then when that begins to happen, we have to start questioning the validity of our relationship as a whole. Do we even have a relationship with God if habitual sin is always present? And, you know, if you're still struggling with a sin that you've had for 15, 20, 25 years, and you've been a Christian that whole time, I'm not going to question the sin. I'm going to question the relationship. And so a chasing after of sin of the believer brings into question whether or not you truly are a believer. Habitual sin in the life of a believer demands that a believer examine his salvation experience. Because true salvation, well, it eradicates that habitual behavior, or at the very least, causes enough discomfort in one's life that they can address and hopefully conquer this. And so we must ask, did I really submit to Jesus? Did I really mean it when I asked him into my heart? Do I really understand what he did at the cross? And for the answers to those questions, simply look at your life. Remember, the final reason for this writing in 1 John, as we read in chapter 5, verse 13, we'll get there eventually, of course, not at the speed I'm going, it'll take us forever, but in order to know, one must be certain. And that's what he writes. I write these things to you so that you may know, that you may know that you have eternal life. Look, if you stay with me through this teaching in 1 John, this book is going to call you out on a lot of things. It probably already has in the short few verses we've looked at. But let me detour for just a second before we get to false statement number two. And that is to say that false teaching, or Gnosticism, had three dangerous thoughts in regards to sin. And that's why John is addressing this, because these are dangerous beliefs that Gnosticism was bringing. And so, well, number one, we just looked at, is that you can't live in or with sin and still be righteous. And number two, that you can be above sin. These are the statements and beliefs of Gnosticism. And the third is no one really sins at all. So these three statements, one of them is they say that you can live in sin, you can live with sin, and you can still be righteous with God, because sin is a temporal, fleshly, carnal, earthly thing, while God is a spiritual, heavenly deity, and the two cannot mix. And so this Gnostic style of thinking was, your sin has no bearing or reflection upon your spirituality. Now, we of course know this is complete farce, but that's not what the people at that time were believing. And then he says, That form of teaching, that Gnosticism, that false teaching, says that you can be above your sin. That is to attain a plateau of sorts where sin no longer is an issue for you. That is that you've come to grips with it, not that you've gotten rid of it. And the other third belief is that no one really sins at all. That sin is just a word somebody made up. And, you know, their belief, because they didn't believe that the spirit can mesh with carnal or with the flesh. So they were teaching that we are just merely subjects of this world that we live in. And we are We are prone to the desires of this world and of this flesh and to its behaviors, whatever they may just, they are, they're just normal. And this line of thinking has permeated today's culture. Just do what feels good. It doesn't, nothing is abnormal anymore. Everything is acceptable. And just be who you want to be. And we see this style of thinking in Hinduism and Buddhism and the Unity Church and Christian Science. And so this Gnostic attitude and teaching and mentality has infiltrated the church even today. And so we're still dealing with the same thing in this 21st century, only there's a little bit of a twist on it. But it all goes back to the one dirty little H word, humanism, which leads us to our second false statement that is found in the scriptures that we have read. And false statement number two is found in verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So we have the first if we claim statement is that if we claim to have fellowship but still sin, we lie. And now he's saying if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and there's no truth in us. And remember now, this is a present tense verse. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. It's happening at the moment. And this deals with the second threat of Gnosticism, that we have reached our sinless goal, or at least we've become temptation-free. And this is a goal that can never be attained this side of heaven. But this is, again, where the false teaching permeated the realm of the church in that day, and in very like manner has done the same today. And the whole point of this little book of 1 John is not the discussion or the proof or the evidence or even the conviction of sin, but it's how we as believers are going to deal with that sin. And it's complete, as we've already been looking at, contrast from how they were dealing with it in the Gnostic mentality. And so we will look at that in just a minute, but remember, when it comes to confession, we are exhorted to confess our sins, not our righteousness. And this is probably one of the major differences between the two styles of thought back then, between the true truth that Paul and John and Jesus and the disciples were teaching in that first and second century and generation church versus what was creeping back in. We don't confess our righteous stance or our righteousness. We confess our sins. We don't confess our righteous stance that we have in Christ. We confess our moral failure that we have in flesh. And there are too many people who are walking around when they've got it backwards. Listen, the righteousness of Christ is surely part of it, but that's the part that brings forgiveness. And so confessing our righteousness doesn't mean that we have attained that righteousness. And too many people speak of the forgiveness based on the righteousness of Christ without acknowledging their sin. No. We have to acknowledge our sin in order for the righteousness of Christ to be imparted over that sin. So we can't say, well, the blood of Christ cleanses me so I can keep on sinning. That is the worst mentality we could adopt. We need to speak of the inadequate, humble, fleshly failure that is the human existence. Listen, no one has arrived. None of us have reached that place where confession is no longer necessary. We shall never rest on the laurels and the finished work of the righteousness of Christ, lest we deal with our sin first. And Christ may have dealt with all of our sin on the cross, but we must deal with it before we can claim that righteousness. In verse 9, he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And that is the essence of the false lie number two, that if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. We're going to pick it up and look at the false statement number three in our next teaching. Until then, again, I'd like to invite you to Abundant Life Fellowship at 415 Old Union Road. You can come Sunday service, Wednesday night service at 7. I preach there Sunday nights at Verse by Verse at 6 p.m. Also, come by the Wash and Word, tune to 107.1 FM, anywhere in the parking lot, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is a place where you can hear the Word of God being preached and taught 24/7, and that's why we exist. So, hope to see you there. Have a blessed day.